Good morning, and happy All Souls Day. This practice of praying for the dead is something which is very dear to the heart of the church. Actually, every Mass that we celebrate, we always pray for the dead. In a prayer called the Eucharistic Prayer, it's a long prayer, and during the Eucharistic Prayer is when us priests change bread into the body of Christ. We change wine into the blood of Christ. And so during that prayer, there's always mention of those who've gone before us, marked with a sign of faith, the faithful departed, those who have left our presence, those who have died. We also, at our Sunday Masses here at St. Philip, always have one of our petitions is for those who have died. And so praying for the dead is something that happens all year round in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, the Universal Church, designates this day, November 2nd, as All Souls Day, where the focus is praying for those who have died. And then, because this is the start of the month of November, the month of November traditionally is seen as a time to pray for the dead. There is a special blessing given, an indulgence given, to those who visit a cemetery in the first week of the month of November. And then throughout November, we remember those who have died. The reason why remembering those who have died is that if we're not ready to enter God's presence when we die, if we're not able to go right into heaven when we die, there's a need for us to be purified. And the place of purification is purgatory. While a person's in purgatory, that time of purification, that time of being prepared for God, can be moved more quickly by our prayers. That is why our prayers are so important, and that is why praying for the dead, All Souls Day, is so dear to the church. Here at St. Philip, for these last 10 years or so, we've developed a practice on the evening of November 2nd of All Souls Day to have a candlelit Mass. And there is something special about a candlelit Mass. It is darker, like it is right now. We don't have the lights on. And because this year, and this is the first time in these 10 years it's happened for me, where November 2nd falls on a Sunday, that means not just the evening Mass is for all souls, but for all the Masses throughout the day. In fact, that includes the Mass last night, because the Mass on the Saturday before Sunday counts as one of our Sunday Masses. So our Mass last evening, and then our four Masses today, all those are for all souls. And we thought instead of having just an evening Mass, a candlelit Mass, we would start with the evening Mass last night and then have all the Masses today also be candlelit. And since we have all these candles, we decided, why not also have a night of adoration? And so last night, after the 5:30 Mass until this morning, we had the Most Blessed Sacrament on the altar. The church was in darkness except for these candles lighting the church. And this was then time for us to pray in a special way for those who have died. This is something that is very special to us and just shows how special those who have died are to all of us in our prayers for them. As we're sitting here right now in the church, this darkened church, I want to draw a connection between what we're feeling right now and the Easter Vigil. Maybe many of you have been to the Easter Vigil, so you may know what I'm talking about. If you've not been to the Easter Vigil, I want to describe just a few things about it that you'll see why I make the connection. The connection is this: the way the Easter Vigil begins, and of course that's on the night before Easter Sunday, the Mass begins outside after dark, around 8:30 p.m., and we're outside, and it's dark, and the church also is dark. There's only a few lights in the church, just like we have a few lights now, simply for safety, because we're all outside, but we eventually have a procession into the church, into the darkened church. And the procession is led by the newly blessed and the newly lit Easter candle. That's the only thing that's lit. All the people in the procession are holding unlit candles, and they're processing along with this. But as the procession continues, as we go from the front lawn of the convent to the front of the church, into the church, stopping at various stages, at each stage, the people involved in the procession take their unlit candles and light them. And so then, by the time we've all reached the sanctuary, so the Easter candle then is up front, The priests and ministers are up front. The people are, for the most part, in their seats. Everybody has in their hands now a lit candle with the Easter candle right up front. And so the church, while in darkness, is also lit by all these candles in the same way that we have all these candles now giving us light in the church. That's the similarity then, that you have a darkened church that's lit by candles. The connection is that these candles all, you know, for the last few weeks, you have been buying them, paying for them, and then you indicated you wanted to have a person's name or names put on those candles for someone who has died. And so as we look now at these candles, there's candles up there, lots of candles up front in the sanctuary. Each one of these candles stands in a certain sense for a person who has died, a person or persons who has died. And so then the reason why I bring up the Easter Vigil is what's going on at the Easter Vigil. Again, it's the night before before we celebrate his resurrection. It's the night when he rose from the dead. So we're celebrating Jesus risen from the dead. Jesus is the light of the world. That's what the Easter candle is a symbol of. Jesus, the light of the world. And the individual candles that everyone's holding is an indication that they participate in his light through their baptism. He is the light. They have the light. He's conquered death. Because of this light, this life, they will conquer death as well. So if we come back to ourselves now, we today, on this All Souls Day, are remembering the dead. In one sense, that is a very pleasant thing for us to do. In many, many cases, the people we remember are people we love dearly. We've had good relations with them. So remembering them is pleasant. But there's also something about remembering the dead that makes us sad. The fact that they've died. The fact that they perhaps suffered before they died. The fact that they're no longer in our presence. And so then this darkened church, no lights, dark, is kind of sad. A reminder that death is sad. But as we look at the candles, it's sort of an indication to us, while their lives have been extinguished, their earthly life has ended, that connection with Jesus, going back to the Easter Vigil, that light of Christ, that life of baptism, does not die, but rather they're united to Christ. And that then is our hope. His resurrection is his victory. He gives his victory to us in baptism. And so we have hope that while they've died in this earthly sense, they will not die forever. And so we have hope in their connection with Jesus. And we therefore pray for them that the fullness of that promise of resurrection will be theirs in heaven. I want to highlight then what I'm saying right now is the importance of solidarity. And solidarity is a fancy word for union. The union that our faithful departed, the union those who have died have with Jesus. That is the focus. These little lights, each candle, reminder of the light of Christ, of their baptism, their solidarity with Jesus. Next, I'd like us to consider the solidarity we have with those who have died. Those who have died could be our grandparents, our parents, our spouses, perhaps even our children, our brothers and sisters, our co-workers, our neighbors, our friends, other relatives. We have solidarity with them. While they have left our presence, they're not far from us. They're still connected with us. We're connected with them. There is solidarity with those who have died. I also want to highlight the solidarity that all of us here have together right now at this Mass. We always have solidarity together when we worship. We all believe the same thing. We love, and so we are joined together in Jesus. We might say we're joined together even more, and I felt it when I did the Mass last night. I feel it right now, that we have a deeper connection Because all of us, or most all of us here, have experienced death. Of course, we've not died ourselves, but we know people. And some of these people, very, very dear to us, have died. So we've all experienced the sadness of death. And that brings us together. Also, every one of us here faces death. I'm sure all of us, at some time or another, have more or less considered death. And that is frightening. That's scary. That can be terrifying. And so then we have that also in common, that all of us together are facing death. But we're not facing death somewhere by ourselves in some hospital room or in our house, in our neighborhood. We're not on our own, but we're rather here in prayer. We're here in faith in Jesus Christ, going back to his resurrection. He is the light of the world. And our beloved dead have been united to him in various ways. And if not a very close way, we know that he is merciful, and that's why we pray for them. We pray for all of them, those who are close to him, those who are not so close. He's merciful, he loves them, that they be purified, they be in heaven. That is what we're doing on All Souls with all Catholics throughout the world. That's what we're doing here on this All Souls Day here at St. Philip. I want to close on this note of solidarity with kind of a housekeeping message, and that has to do with our parish finance report, which every year around this time, September, October, November, I always release this, and basically is data, a financial report on our past fiscal year that ended this past June 30th. And along with this report, just a one-page report giving us a quick overview of income, expenses, and where we stand with our balance sheet. With that also is a letter from me, just making some comments and sort of setting the path for the future. I do want you to take that letter with you today, please. It's in the bulletin in both English and Spanish. So do take it with you. And some highlights, just two highlights I want to hit on in terms of our parish finances. One of the highlights I want to mention is for the last number of years, we've been able to rent our school building. We continue to do that. We just signed a new contract with a Catholic entity, an independent Catholic high school called the St. Jerome Institute, which will be starting in the building next fall. And so we've had arrangements in the past. We have a contract for the coming 4 years. And this has been a great blessing in bringing rental income to the parish. And so that is a highlight. You'll see it as our income, one of our income parts. And so please note that we're doing very well there. Another thing I want to bring to all of our attention is our Sunday collection. Our Sunday collection, which is the monies we collect here at Mass every Sunday. Many of us also, rather than giving money at the Mass, do it online. But those two numbers together, our Sunday collection, actually has slipped. It has slipped. And so this slippage is something that I want to address along with Father Briggs at the Sunday Masses for the rest of November. It's not going to be the main theme, but something I want to touch on because I'd like all of us to be thinking about our parish, our connection with our parish, and how we can support our parish. And this is where that word solidarity is so very important. I'm thinking, and I put a plan, a very simple plan, in this letter, that if we all participate in this simple plan, then we should be able to take care of our parish and make sure that we are financially viable. We have been financially viable. Rental income has helped us in a major way, but we still, all of us as parishioners, need to be supporting the parish. And if you see my plan, I think that we'll be able to do that without anyone being put out in too much of a way. And it comes down to solidarity, us taking care of the parish. So my big ask for you today is basically make sure you take a bulletin and please read the letter, see how we're doing with the finances, and you'll see in the middle of it are just three little points, very simple points, one sentence a piece of what the plan is, what I'd like all of us to do. And I'll touch on this more in the coming weeks with Father Briggs. And I think by the end of the month, we'll be at a position where we'll have a commitment from all of us. where we're ready to do what needs to be done to keep our parish the way it's been, taking care of each other, and coming back to what we're doing today, taking care even of those who have passed, the faithful departed, our brothers and sisters. So going back to All Souls, all experience death. The faithful departed have actually died. We have experienced their death. We are facing death, and we need a Savior, and we have one, and we have solidarity with him, with Jesus. And what he gives to us is solidarity with those who have died. That's what these candles remind us of, the lighted candle, the light of Christ, solidarity with them, solidarity with us with each other. And all of this reveals to us a great, great possibility that with faith, with prayer, can be our salvation and Jesus, the Savior of the world. Amen.